Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at the Graymere Church of Christ.
Thank you for joining us for our Sunday night sermon. About 16 years ago, Gary McIntyre began his day the way he always began his day. He lived in New Brunswick, Canada, and was a forestry worker. He was out there among the trees. It just so happened today he didn't have a couple of key items with him when he heard a sound from behind him that he knew from experience was trouble. He looked back and realized not only had he heard the sound of a bear, but he was being charged by that bear. He knew he couldn't outrun it, so he scrambled up a nearby tree. He didn't have his usual repellent that he would carry on him to spray in the face of animals, and he didn't have his two-way radio with him. And so as he began to climb up the tree, this bear was incredibly angry and followed him up the tree and began climbing. And he noticed that as he was climbing, he found himself yelling. He was just screaming, and I probably would too. But the more he screamed, the angrier the bear got and just kept lashing out with its claws as he scrambled to stay away. Take a minute to ask yourself, if you were in Gary's position, what would you do? I'd like to think that I would be quick thinking enough to scramble up a tree and to be able to put some distance between that bear and myself. But he was able to think a lot more calmly about what was happening than I would. Once he got up that tree and started looking around, he noticed a few things. One of which was there was a cub that was trapped in a nearby tree. And it seems that's what made this bear so angry, that her cub was somewhere in danger, and she was worried about this other person who walked up on the scene. But as she kept getting closer and he kept yelling, she was even more agitated. And finally, as the bear was scratching out after him, getting close to his feet, he made himself stop screaming. He got quiet. And about the time that he got quiet, he noticed that the cub in a nearby tree was able to scramble down and swing down a little bit and land on the ground and walk off. As soon as that happened, the mother climbed down the tree and went to her cub. As he was talking with a TV reporter later, he said he could remember the moment that it dawned on him, the louder he screamed, the angrier the bear became. Now that's how I would react if a bear was chasing me. There are times when I've been startled or surprised by something and I've made noises without even thinking about it. I can only imagine what it would be like if I had an animal after me. I would probably be yelling and screaming. Wouldn't you? There are just certain things we tend to do when we're in danger. There are certain things we tend to do when we're agitated or we're upset. Maybe you've heard people describe a challenge of lifeguarding that takes place when there might be someone who's in distress out in the water, is struggling maybe to stay afloat, isn't sure what to do next. And when the lifeguard dives in and goes to that person, lifeguards have to have special training to be able to deal with people in distress. Because when you're agitated, when you're in distress, when you're panicking for your life, you might just start lashing out and hitting even the people who are trying to help you. And so as the lifeguard is trying to wrap his or her arms around you to carry you in, you might resist. And it can be very difficult. It's not helpful, but it is a natural reaction. We tend to do that. In fact, I've done that before. When someone has said something to me that made me upset, I've lashed out just kind of instinctively without even stopping to think about the consequences. Again, might not be helpful, but it's something that we can understand. It's the kind of reaction that anger can prompt. Anger causes us to do and say all kinds of things. And so that's why when we read, for example, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, Paul would say, "Be angry and yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and do not give the devil an opportunity." Now, when I am angry and when I lash out in anger, I'm often not stopping to think about what's happening. But Paul here is encouraging me to stop. And to say, you know, when you do that, when you lash out because you're mad or because you're angry, you are giving the devil an opportunity. You are providing a foothold for him. That's a dangerous image. Usually we think of an angry response as an opportunity for me to feel better, right? This is my chance to do what I want to do, to say what I want to say, to get it off my chest, and then I'm going to feel better. But Paul says that's not what's happening at all. By inspiration, he's saying that's what the devil can use. Anger can lead to sin. Now, it's not the mere emotion of anger, because Paul has already said it's possible to be angry and choose not to sin. We're all going to feel the emotion of anger, just like we feel every emotion. But he says we can choose not to let it lead us to sin. And he urges us not to let the sun go down on our anger. The idea there is that we don't let it simmer. We don't think about it. We don't obsess over it. We don't focus solely on our anger. We're all going to feel angry at times, but we don't let it define our actions. Going over it in our mind, ruminating over what someone said or what they did, those are things that allow Satan a foothold in our lives. And that's hard. That's hard because we know what we want to say. Have you ever had a conversation where you've had to bite your tongue because you know what you want to say to someone? We want to lash out if someone's hurt us. Like the time ninth graders at Woodlawn High School near Baltimore were gathered for an assembly on anger management. A special facilitator was brought in to speak to these students about some of the bullying that had been taking place on campus. And there were some students on stage that the facilitator was helping walk through an exercise that showed positive ways, peaceful ways, to resolve conflict. But during that time, there was a parent there, a mother of a girl who didn't like what some other girls were saying to her child, so she confronted them. They'd been bullying her child, and she started giving them a talking to, which turned into screaming, which turned into pushing and hitting, and a crowd of 750 high school students erupted into chaos. Not only that, but that fight right there led to several other fights throughout the school and throughout the school day, so that at the end of the day, when the principal was being interviewed, he said it led to 11 suspensions and 2 arrests. In the middle of a seminar on conflict resolution, conflict had broken out. And instead of taking the advice that was being given to them from up on stage, people were gratifying their own desire, their own anger. And maybe it was justifiable. Maybe that mother had every reason in the world to be furious at what these other girls were saying. But when she said what she wanted to say, it didn't lead to the results she wanted to experience. I think that may be why in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus starts out as he's giving these series of you've heard it said, but I say to you examples. He starts out in one of those by saying you've heard it said that it's wrong to murder, that you shouldn't kill one another. But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother is liable to the court. Why would Jesus say that anger was an issue? Because very often, the action of taking someone's life, the action of violence, doesn't occur in a vacuum. It's usually instigated by an emotion, by anger. Anger can lead to some dangerous places. And when we allow that anger to take root, and when we say what we want to say and do what we want to do, it can often make it worse. We're thinking about wisdom from wisdom literature, balanced wisdom on Sunday nights. And here's what wisdom literature has to offer to help us deal with this. Proverbs 10 and verse 12 tells us that hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all transgressions. One of the differences between hatred and love is that hatred is going to stir up conflict, and love is going to heal conflict. Hatred is going to stir up further hatred, but love can encourage more loving actions. And we even get some really creative language in Proverbs to understand how this works. So, for example, in Proverbs 30, in verse 33, listen to the way it's described here. For the churning of milk produces butter, and pressing the nose brings forth blood, so the churning of anger produces strife. What happens when anger is allowed to churn up in our lives? When we let it take root in our hearts, it's going to produce something that's hurtful. It's just natural. Just as natural as someone getting hit in the nose would cause it to bleed, when I throw angry outbursts out there in the world, it's going to stir up more strife. But maybe the most appropriate one is in Proverbs 15 and verse 1. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Gary McIntyre realized that the more he screamed at the bear, the angrier the bear got. The solution was not yelling louder at the bear. That was doing the opposite of what he wanted. The solution was not yelling, was not screaming. The solution came in an unlikely way. In fact, just a couple of chapters earlier in Proverbs 12, verse 16, we find out that a fool is someone whose anger is known all at once. In other words, this is someone who, when he or she is angry, you know exactly. They lash out immediately. Now, we're usually told the opposite. We're usually told that someone who's really strong is someone who doesn't let anyone walk over them, all over them. You come up to that person and you try to push them around and they say, no, I'm not going to do that. And they immediately lash out. And we think of that person as being strong and resilient. And they're not going to let anyone get one over on them. But Proverbs says that's the opposite. That if I'm communicating exactly how I react, exactly what I'm thinking when someone pushes my buttons, I'm not being a wise person, I'm being a fool. In fact, isn't that what infants and small children do? They cry, they react immediately when something doesn't go their way. Now, they're still learning, they're still developing, they're doing what babies are supposed to do. But when we're a few years older, when we're supposed to be more mature, that's not the way we're supposed to act. Scripture tells us that often the strongest thing to do is not to respond in kind. Before David became king, he had a group of men who followed him, hundreds of them. And one of the things that happened in that culture was that you would have a group like David's who would protect various farmers and people who were taking their herds different places and letting them graze. And one of the individuals that David and his friends protected was a man named Nabal. And he had a lot. He had a large estate, a lot of crops, a lot of herds and flocks. And so there came harvest time, and David and his men did what was customary for people in their situation to do. They came to Nabal and said, okay, we've protected you all year. Now we'd like some payment. We'd like some of your harvest. We'd like for you to show your appreciation in the way that was customary by giving us some payment. But Nabal wouldn't have any of it. He said, who is David? Who are these people that I should pay them? And that made David and his men furious. And so not just David and a few others, but hundreds of them were riding to take down Nabal, to attack him. And we're left to fill in the blanks ourselves, but it's pretty easy, at least for me, to assume Nabal would have meant a violent end, if not for his wife, Abigail. Abigail intercepted them on their way. They were going to see Nabal, but when she finds out what's happened, she gathers up as much as she can, and she loads up as much food as she can get her hands on, and as much of the crops as she can, and as much of the flocks as she can, and she goes and meets David and pleads with him not to attack Nabal, but to take this. Here, would you take this? Here, I'm giving this to you. Nabal is a fool. In fact, that's what his name means. And Abigail says he lives up to his name. A gentle answer turns away wrath. David was intent on proving who was right and why he was right. But when Abigail intercedes, all of a sudden he sees things differently. What do we say when we know we can't say what we want to say? A wise and a gentle reaction can turn away wrath. In fact, oftentimes the strongest action we can take is to share the gentlest response. It doesn't always seem that way, but it's powerful. Many of you at Graymere know the Shannon family. Roy and Clara Shannon were members at Graymere years ago before they moved to New York with the Hills and with many others as the Timothy Hill Children's Ranch was begun, and then as they were working to plant the churches up there in Long Island. And after moving back for years, Roy was an elder for the church in Brushy, and they've been fixtures in that community and blessings to so many people. You may also know that Roy recently passed away. Roy loved reading scripture, was a student of the Bible, and he especially loved Proverbs. And he would read Proverbs regularly. And if you talk to any of his children or his grandchildren, they would tell you he had a proverb for just about anything you could come up with. Any situation, he would have a proverb to share. And he would sometimes help them memorize proverbs because the wisdom there was important. And just from knowing him, I can imagine how that wisdom informed his leadership and the way he helped others. Now, obviously, during this time, funerals are different. And since there couldn't be a large ceremony, there was just a family ceremony, and there'll be a memorial later when other people can gather. But what Clara discovered when she drove home was that members of the congregation at Brushy had put little placards in their driveway, on the sides of their driveway, with some of the proverbs written that Roy had loved and some encouraging messages that were there. Now, that was a powerful statement. Number one, it was a powerful statement about this family, about Roy's love for Scripture and their love for him. But it was also a statement about the wisdom that's available in Scripture, how it can inform our lives if we let it. What do I say when I can't say what I want to say? Well, that's where Proverbs gives us some wisdom. If I can internalize what's written here, if I can hide this wisdom in my heart, I'll be able to respond in a way that won't just lash out and won't allow me to gratify my desire, but will allow me to share godly wisdom. In fact, that was really important for the early church, because the early church was dealing with governments that oftentimes were opposed to Christianity. And when Paul writes to the church at Rome, he's writing to Christians who were in a difficult situation in the Roman Empire. It's not the widespread persecution that would be to come, but it's still a hard time when you're living as a Christian. And so that's one of the reasons Paul would write in Romans 12, verse 17, never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. And if he is thirsty, give him a drink, for in so doing you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. When we refuse to respond out of anger, when we refuse to lash out at people, even at people who mistreat us, not only are we doing what God would call us to do, but we're also showing our faith, because we're trusting in God to handle that situation. When I decide not to take vengeance for myself, I'm allowing God to handle that. I'm reminding myself and those around me that I'm trusting in God to be the ultimate judge of what needs to happen, and for him to take care of any situation that I've found hurtful. It's not merely an act of self-control, it's an act of faith to say, I'm not going to lash out in anger. I'm relying on God. What do we say when we can't say what we want to say? Well, very often the strongest response is the gentlest. Now, chances are, in the next week, something's going to happen to make me angry. I'm going to read something that someone has posted online. I'm going to hear something on the news. Someone's going to tell me something in conversation, and I'm going to be mad. And my first temptation will be to scream at the bear that's chasing me, to yell out, to lash out. And maybe the best thing I could do is to stop, to remind myself, I might know what I want to say, but maybe I shouldn't say what I want to say. Maybe instead of doing that, I'll allow God's wisdom to guide me. Before I post without stopping to think about the ramifications, before I reply to someone without taking their emotions and their perspective into consideration, maybe I need to stop and realize that the strongest answer is often the gentlest. Usually, it's what needs to be said, that gentle, wise answer, as opposed to lashing out of anger. This week, let's take the strongest approach. It might not look like the strongest approach to the world around us. They might not understand why we would treat someone in a loving and compassionate way instead of standing up and making sure we don't have anyone walk over us. But if I look at Scripture, I see what true strength looks like. And that's the kind of strength we need when facing challenges. It may be that as you've listened to this and reflected on it, you need to make some changes in your own life. If you'd like to become a Christian, we'd love to help make that happen for you. Please let us know. Contact us. Call us up at the church building. Email us through our website. It may be that you need some prayers. If you're a member at Graymere, our elders would love for you to contact them and let us know how they can help you and they can pray for you. I know they're so grateful, especially during this time, to have this connection with members of the church and to know what they can do to encourage you. Let's make sure that as we live our lives this week, when people look at us, they see Christ, because we act the way he'd have us to act, and we handle conflicts the way he'd have us handle conflicts. Let's choose the strongest approach.